This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about fighting obesity, and we'll be talking about brain development. But first, there aren't effective countermeasures, vaccines, or treatments for many bioterror agents, and that's because there's no commercial market for these drugs. Drug companies won't spend the money to develop and produce them if no one will buy them, and unless there's a bioterror attack, no one is likely to do that. Well, faced with that situation and the need for available drugs in the event of an attack, President Bush announced Project BioShield in his 2003 State of the Union address, a 10-year, $6 billion program to spur research, development, production, and stockpiling of vaccines and treatments for biological and chemical weapons and other dangerous pathogens. Congress earmarked money for this effort last year, but the Project BioShield legislation hasn't been passed yet. Many companies can't or won't put up the money to develop these drugs without the backing from the federal government. But all that may change soon. This week, the Senate passed a 10-year, $5.6 billion version of the bill. The House passed its bill last summer, and a final version of the bill could be on the president's desk sometime next month. What will Project BioShield do for companies working on anti-terror drugs? And will this law be enough to protect us against a biological or chemical attack? What do you think? Our number, 1-800-989-8255. Let me introduce my guest. Frank Gottrin is a science and technology policy analyst in the Resources, Science, and Industry Division at the Congressional Research Service in Washington. He joins us by phone. Welcome to the program, Dr. Gottrin.
Thank you.
Yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci said that he was sure that the U.S. will suffer a bioterrorist attack. He said the question is not whether. He said, but when. Will this BioShield Project BioShield be effective in counter, being a counter deterrence for that?
There's a disagreement on whether it will serve as an effective deterrent, but it'll certainly, most people agree, help us respond to an attack. Mm-hmm. And you could think that our ability to respond could deter use of certain agents. So if the bad guys know that we can stop right. the agent they were going to use, then maybe they won't attack.
Tell us what the Senate legislation that passed yesterday, what does that incorporate?
Well, there's three main provisions in Project BioShield, in both the House passed and the Senate passed version. The first is, and most important, getting the most attention, is the guaranteeing of a government market. And as you described, it will allow industry some assurance that if they successfully develop a product, that there will be someone to buy it. Mm-hmm. There are a couple other provisions that are important as well. Something that's referred to as the emergency use provision, which would allow, in the case of an emergency, an attack, for instance, that the Secretary of Health and Human Services could allow drugs or countermeasures that have not yet fully completed the FDA approval process to be used. Now, that would only be in dire circumstances and if that's the only thing that's available.
I mean, so drugs that are under test but show promise won't have to go through the long...
Exactly. And it would be a temporary measure, something that's going through testing, for instance. It could be rushed to market to deal with an emergency.
Mm-hmm. And the third point?
The third point is some flexibility for the Department of Health and Human Services with regards to certain types of purchases and grant making.
Mm-hmm. And how does the government determine exactly what kind of drugs that they want to stockpile?
Well, it's an ongoing process. The legislation talks about the Secretaries of Health and Human Services and the Department of Homeland Security deciding what goes into the stockpile. In practice, there is a multi-agency subcommittee called the Weapons of Mass Destruction Medical Countermeasures Subcommittee that is looking at this. And what they're doing is, well, they have representatives from the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, Department of HHS, and as well as some representation from the intelligence community. As you can imagine, it's not just strictly a defense issue. It's not strictly a public health issue, but intelligence may play a factor as well. Mm.
Could you make an educated guess of what kinds of drugs they're looking at?
Well, they've publicly stated that they're looking at a new anthrax vaccine, some anthrax treatment products that could be used in addition to antibiotics that are currently used, a next generation smallpox vaccine, maybe botulism antitoxin, a new plague vaccine, some anti-radiation drugs, mm-hmm. And some other vaccines. They've said those publicly that they think that it's likely that those will be able to be procured under the BioShield. Mm-hmm.
And are the drug companies pretty happy with this legislation?
I think everybody agrees that this is at least a good first step. But I also think that it's fair to say that most people don't believe that it's a panacea. It's a very complicated problem that we're facing, and you know, it'd be rare that a problem this complicated be solved with a single piece of legislation. There's already been some talk. Some lawmakers have been quoted as saying that there may be some need for a BioShield 2, if you will.
But even before BioShield 1.
Well, now that it's passed, now they're talking about, or almost passed,
right.
That it's maybe more incentives.
Oh, I see. So what would that have in BioShield 2, for example, that might not have in BioShield 1?
Well, some of the other policy options that have been discussed include indemnification. Industry would be very eager to be indemnified. They assume a large liability of
right.
one of their drugs being used and adverse reaction to it. So that several companies have said that is holding up them from getting into this field.
They're afraid of a big lawsuit.
Exactly.
They may be sued for a bad batch of drugs or something.
Right.
And so the Congress would then insure them, or would say you can't sue them?
It's unclear. There are several provisions that have been discussed. It's pretty early in the process, I think. Mm-hmm. But there is some precedent for it, similar to the what was done with the smallpox vaccine, where the manufacturers were indemnified mm-hmm. in that case.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically what BioShield 2 would be.
Maybe. It's very in the nascent stages. People have also talked about trying ways to encourage the existence of a dedicated biodefense industry through encouraging more venture capital into this particular area of research. Mm-hmm. So it's still early days.
Is this a pretty good chunk of money, about $6 billion?
That's a lot of money to me.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, does this really get everything we want?
Right.
How far does $6 billion or $5.6 billion go?
Right.
Our sister agency, the Congressional Budget Office, has put out some estimates just to give you a flavor. They thought over the 10 years, a new anthrax vaccine would maybe spend $1.4 billion on that for over 10 years. So a new smallpox vaccine, maybe $1 to $2 billion over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of money, certainly, but these are also expensive treatments and things. So it's not clear how much more that we'll be able to get from it.
10 years is a long period of time to wait, considering the state of the world these days.
Sure. And the idea is not that we're going to wait the 10 years to spend it. The government has already started looking at the new anthrax vaccine, and in theory, things will be bought much sooner than the 10 years. So it'll be sort of a rolling mm-hmm. Procurement process.
1-800-989-8255. Jeremy in Sacramento. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm actually like, just have a question because 5 years ago I was in the military and we were being vaccinated for anthrax. And right now you're mentioning that there is going to be a new vaccine for anthrax. Could you please explain, are the old ones no longer valid, or what kind of new ingredients, I would say, they are putting into vaccination process? And that's pretty much my question. Thank you.
Yeah, you mentioned that anthrax was a new anthrax vaccine. What's wrong with the old one?
Well, it's not ideal for responding to an attack. The current one has several doses over a long period of time, and ideally what you'd want is a single dosage. So they could just give you one shot in the arm or some alternative delivery method, and then you'd be immune. The current course is not like that. It's several injections over a long period of time before you get immunity. So obviously in an emergency situation, it's not ideal. Mm-hmm. Under circumstances for the military, you could vaccinate the people before they get to the theater. So it's a little different problem for a civilian market.
Is there any money in this project, BioShield, to pay for the hospital workers, the additional hospital workers and people who will have to dispense the drugs to the general population during an emergency?
No, actually, this is just a procurement of drugs to actually go into the stockpile. So there's no money for...
It's like buying the bullets without having the guns for them, isn't it?
Well, there are separate appropriations for managing the stockpile, and those wouldn't be included in the 5.6 that are covered under BioShield.
But so they're, because we hear from hospitals all the time, they're saying, we don't have the money to, we're not, you know, it's not filtering down the funding to the hospital level to take care of the people if should there be another attack. Is there separate, are you aware of separate funding that would get there?
Well, there are certainly efforts to increase the infrastructure that would allow for surge capacity and funding of that sort. So there are efforts ongoing.
Yeah, but you have to have the people more than the efforts. You know, you have to be in the hospital. you can have an effort that people got to be there to give out this stuff, because we don't know when that might happen. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen, God forbid, some other time. You know.
Sure.
What happens with the states of these two bills? How far apart are the Senate and the House versions?
Well, the version that passed the Senate is fairly close to what passed the House. Some of the congressional leaders have been quoted as saying that they think that it's going to go pretty quickly. It's not clear if there will be an actual conference committee, or if the House will vote on the Senate version and then just pass it directly on to the president for a signature.
Mm-hmm. So nothing major there.
No, this obviously took quite some time since the president announced it in 2003 State of the Union address. And what's been happening is the legislation has been evolving through many different versions, and now what's passed the Senate and is fairly close to what was passed by the House. So all of the major disagreements have been taken care of.
Mm-hmm. So let's say we get a bill signed into law. Mm-hmm. Does that mean it's a free-for-all for the drug companies?
No.
To get $6 billion out there?
Right. Now, what will happen is that the government will say, look, we really want a countermeasure for disease X. We want a new treatment for anthrax, let's say. Mm-hmm. And companies will submit proposals, and the government will end up picking a proposal. So there'll be this sort of dialogue that goes on and then a decision. And once the decision's made, the government's essentially saying, Company A, we really like your treatment. You say it's going to be ready in 3 years. You'll be ready to deliver so much of it to us to put into the stockpile. Here, let's write a contract today that says if we get it in 3 years, we will pay you X amount of money for X number of doses. So everything is written into the contract.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with that, then the company can say, well, that justifies us finishing the research and development on it.
All right. Let me stop you there, because we have to take a break. We'll come back after the break. Stay with us and pick up on this track of where we're going to go. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about Project BioShield and the legislation that's wending its way through Congress that will give money, will make it easy for drug companies to work, give them funding to develop drugs against biological terrorist attacks. I'm talking with Frank Gottrin, who is a science and technology policy advisor in the Resources, Science, and Industry Division at the Congressional Research Service in Washington, D.C. And when I rudely interrupted him, he was trying to tell us how this is all going to finally play out. When the pharmaceutical companies get involved, they'll be very nice about it, right? Dividing it up.
There may be some competition involved. Yeah.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's see if we can go to phones. Got a phone call or two in there. Let's go to Michael in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing, Ira?
Hi there.
I don't know if your guest can answer my question or not. My concern is this is all great, and I'm really feeling warm and fuzzy that the government's putting $6 billion into antidotes for a biochemical attack. My question is, on some of these biochemicals, sarin, mustard gas, anthrax, what's the window there before someone is beyond the ability of an antidote? How long does it take? I mean, where is this stuff going to be stored? You say it's going to be stockpiled. It's going to be in the local hospitals, and my local fire department's going to run out if I'm exposed to it and give me an inoculation or something? Or how is that distribution process working? What's the window of opportunity to get an antidote to somebody?
Dr. Gottrin?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it depends on the agent, and certainly some agents have larger windows of opportunity than others. As far as how the stockpile is arranged, it's actually not a single stockpile. It's several stockpiles, if you will, that are spread around the country. And the idea is that they can deploy the countermeasures within a day. It could be anywhere in the country. So that's very helpful for many diseases, but obviously something like sarin or something that is very fast acting, has a very short window, it may not be as helpful.
All right. I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us, Dr. Gottrin, and good luck to you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ira.
Frank Gottrin is Science and Technology Policy Analyst in the Resources, Science, and Industry Division at the Congressional Research Service in Washington, D.C.